Could we turn together in the Word of God to the book of Ezekiel and the 36th chapter? Good to see you gathered here for this meeting tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless our hearts as we come together. We welcome those as well who are online, and we pray the Word of God will be of help to you as well. So Ezekiel 36, we'll read some verses beginning at the verse number 8. Ezekiel 36 and verse number 8. Let's hear God's word. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. And God will bless the reading of these verses as he has promised to do. Again, let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll commit our time into the Lord's hands. Our Heavenly Father, and our gracious God, we come afresh to thee, and we wait in thy presence. We thank thee for the opportunity to turn away from all else that has occupied our minds, taken up our time already this day. And we come and we turn ourselves unto thee, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt turn toward us, cause thy face to shine, and O Lord, deliver us and bless us, meet with us, as we gather together in this fashion again. We commend this time now to thee as we look at thy word. We pray, Lord, for the help of the Spirit and for his gracious presence and enablement. As we wait in thy presence now, give us help from heaven. Bless me, cleanse my heart, touch my soul. Do the same for every brother and sister here and those who meet with us online and meet with us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. I want to focus your minds this evening on the closing words of verse number 8. Those words, for they are at hand to come. Obviously, the reference is to people. And in the context, the words are spoken of the Jews who had gone into captivity in the times prior to the point that we're reading about here in this chapter. They've gone into captivity in the city of Babylon, as we are fully aware. But as the Lord had revealed, they would come back to their own land. And it is to that development that these words refer here at the close of verse number 8. They are at hand to come. In addition, these words may be applied in a wider sense. And that, of course, is to the operations of God at any time in history, within humanity and across the nations of this earth. The Lord has a people concerning whom these words are so true. They are at hand to come. There are many examples of that fact in Scripture that I could take you to just now, but one is sufficient. And it's over there in Acts chapter 18. I want you just to look at that with me. I know these words will be familiar to many, but why that may be so, and maybe not familiar to others, I want you to look at them nonetheless. Acts chapter 18 and the verse number 9. And we have Paul in Corinth. He is labouring there in the gospel, evangelising. It's not an easy road that he has or an easy place where he's ministering. But here's what we find, Acts 18 verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And notice there those words at the end of verse number 10, I have much people in this city. It's the same kind of thought, the same kind of language as you have in Ezekiel 36 verse number 8. For the Lord says, they are at hand to come. He's speaking there of his own people, whom he gathers out from the nations, as I've said, from across the face of the earth. We have that great example in Acts 18, where the Lord tells the Apostle Paul not to be afraid, but to keep on preaching and ministering. And he gives him this great assurance, for I have much people in this city. Now, at that point, those people were not the Lord's. They were not yet saved. And that's obvious, because the great evangelistic work has not really begun. And therefore, they are not yet converted. But the Lord refers to them as his people. He says, I have much people in this city. And of course, as time went by, they were gathered and a great and a glorious work was done in the city of Corinth that led to the establishment of that great church that we know about when we read Acts and also the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And so, in the light of what we notice in Acts 18, the light of what we see here in Ezekiel 36, we are able to say that what the Lord states here is constantly true. There is always a people out of fallen humanity who are at hand to come. The words there are at hand to come simply means that they are close to coming or they've been drawn, or we're going to see more of that a little later, but that's the sense of the words. And we may think about those words, you see, as a great encouragement for prayer. Do we not long to see sinners coming to Jesus Christ? Do we not long to see backsliders being restored to their first love? Do we not long to see as well believers coming out of maybe compromised situations to stand for Jesus Christ and to lift up the banner of truth and the banner of the cross? And there are many Christians who would need to be drawn away from compromised situations, as I've described them, and be brought into a closer walk with the Lord, into a nearer fellowship with the Lord. And so there are all these areas of people concerning whom we long to see them coming to be saved, coming to be restored, coming to a closer walk with God. Well, here is a word to our hearts. They are at hand to come. I want to look at those words in three simple ways as the Lord helps us. Number one, here is a word of prophecy. It's a word of prophecy. The Lord prophetically reveals that there was a people at hand to come. Yet, this did not seem to be the case in the light of certain circumstances that appeared to be against their coming. And so, when we think about this is true. The Jewish people of whom these words were first spoken were in circumstances, were in situations where it did not appear that there was any sign or there was any likelihood even of those people being at hand to come. And when you think about the circumstances to which I refer concerning the Jews who are in view here in the initial sense, those circumstances are always true and continually true at any time with regard to that people who are the Lord's, who are in his mind and his eye and who will come, who will eventually be brought to whatever their need being met may be. And yet there are circumstances and there are situations that give to us the appearance, well, this is just not true. Where are the signs that they are at hand to come, that they are near to come? How is this true? And you see, this, therefore, is why I say this is a word of prophecy, because the Lord is showing us here that though those circumstances to which I refer that seem to give the impression that they're not at hand to come are all around and they're evidently seen, yet these words are true and may be believed and applied at any given time within the work of God, within our Christian experience. They are at hand to come. What are some of those circumstances? Let me just mention them quickly as I deal with this word of prophecy, looking at it that way first. Well, there was the dispersal. The Jews were scattered. Again, taking them in the initial sense of the words. They were scattered. They were dispersed, not only in Babylon, but throughout other nations as well. And you see, that is true of those who will yet come. They are dispersed. Sin scatters, sin disperses, sin drives people away, drives them indeed very, very far away. And that is a fact, that is a reality. And yet, God has a people who have been dispersed and scattered by the world and the flesh and the devil. And yet, concerning some of those people, they are at hand to come. Turn with me to John 11. And you have a remarkable prophecy there, just as I speak of a word of prophecy. And we're thinking about these people, and this is one circumstance. They were dispersed, they were scattered, these Jews, like God's people, God's chosen people. At any given time, they are scattered here, there, and yonder. So John 11, verse number 51, and I only can take time to read a couple of verses here and not get into the setting itself. And it says in verse 51 of John 11, "This spake he not of himself," that is the high priest Caiaphas, "this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." And you have, I say again, remarkable words there. Now, actually, this man, Caiaphas, didn't even know that he was making a prophecy. He was a dark-hearted man, and yet the Holy Spirit came upon him and moved him to make this prophecy, even though he had no awareness of what he was really saying. Similar to what happened with Balaam. God put his word in Balaam's mouth, even though he was a false prophet, and had him deliver it. And God has this man, Caiaphas, deliver a wonderful prophecy about the children of God scattered abroad, that Jesus Christ was going to die for them as well as for the Jewish nation, of which Caiaphas also speaks. And see, you see from this, my dear friend, what is really in view is the fruit of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ was going to die for Jew and Gentile. But notice those words, that he, Christ, should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And it ties in with the thought of this word of prophecy. They are at hand to come. And why? Why are they at hand to come? Because the Savior has died for them. Because the Savior has redeemed them. And therefore there's no doubt about the fact that they are going to come. That they're going to be gathered in, the children of God scattered abroad. God's children tonight, that is those who are his by choice and by election. They're scattered abroad, here, there, and yonder, throughout the nations. But the Lord knows every one of them. And the Lord is telling us through his own prophetic word that they're at hand to come, and they will come. Because Christ, through the redemptive work of the cross, ensures that they will come. And so, even though men and women are dispersed and scattered and are lost, as I speak to you, they're going to come for this reason, that while dispersed, Christ will reach them and he will see the travail of his soul and he will see them gathered in. That is one circumstance. They were dispersed, but there's another one. They were at a distance. There was the distance as well. The Jews in view, Ezekiel 36 again, well, they were far away from their own land. At a distance. And that little detail is a reminder of the awful distance because of sin that there is between God and men. You remember how Paul wrote to the Ephesians about these matters. And if you want just to look at the verse quickly, it's Ephesians 2. And he says there in verse number 12, reminding these Ephesian Christians as they now are, as he writes to them, of what they used to be. Ephesians 2 verse 12. And he says this, that at that time, that is in your unsaved days, in your unregenerate days, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. My dear friend, while men remain unsaved, and I'm talking here about those who are at hand to come even, this is what they are. They're aliens to God. They're strangers. And they are at a distance from God. In fact, in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, Paul develops it a little more. And he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yes, the verse is stating where they now are, these Ephesian believers. And they've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. But notice what it says, ye who sometimes were far off. You were far off. I was far off. There was a distance between us and God. We were not only scattered and dispersed by sin, as all men are, but we were far away from God. We were in another kingdom. The devil's kingdom. We belonged to another company, the children of wrath. The lost, the ungodly. We were very far from God. Just like the Jews who were far away in Babylon, concerning whom these words were said, they are at hand to come. So there's another circumstance. Not only their dispersal, but their distance. And then there's a third one. As we look at these words, there was their detention. And I put it that way just to have it memorable in your minds tonight. Sinners are dispersed, sinners are at a distance, and sinners are in detention. Where were the Jews? They were captives in Babylon. They were in a situation of utter hopelessness. They were in a place of despair and fear and misery. That's where the sinner is. That's where the lost one is. That is where those people are who will yet be saved. And the Lord's going to gather in. They are in the detention that has been brought upon them by their own disobedience and by their sinfulness. And all the misery and unhappiness of that state is what they're experiencing. And I tell you, my dear friend, taking the Jews, they were in a very unhappy state. Many of you will know Psalm 137, which was written after the captivity had come to a close, that's what's in view here, Psalm 137. And you have God's people writing about how they were in Babylon. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing as one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And why can they not sing? Because they are captives. Why have they no song? Because they are outside the will of God. Sin has driven them into that detention and captivity in Babylon. And therefore they can't sing there. And there's no sinner in the face of the earth who's able to sing the songs of Zion. All that sinners can sing is the jangle of the world. Now, whenever you listen, and it's not that I sit down and listen to their music, but you can't help it. Help hearing it, I mean. Turn on the car radio for the news or whatever, and there it is. Utter rubbish. You can't even make out the words. There's no rhythm, there's no harmony, nothing like that. It's just a jingle jangle of dark nonsense. And that's what they call singing. My friend, that's why. That's an evidence as to why they're in detention, because they don't know anything about the song of the soul set free. They're in detention. But you see, I've shown you these circumstances and this word of prophecy there at hand to come. And the circumstances, as I said, would seem to say this will never happen. These people are dispersed. These people are at this awful distance. These people are in detention. How could this be true? Well, my dear friend, you can ask the question about people in the world. They're in the very same circumstances. And therefore, how can it be true that they're at hand to come? And what's, we're going to see in a moment or two what will bring them. But the point is that the prophecy is revealing to us, when the Lord says they're at hand to come, the prophecy is revealing to us that the Lord overcomes all the obstacles that would prevent these people from coming and cause us to think that there's no way that they can possibly come. Because God, by His grace, deals with all of the sad repercussions of man's sins, and in spite of where they are and what they are, He brings them. And that leads me to the next thought here. It's only a word of prophecy. It's a word of promise. They are at hand to come. And this is a promise as well as a prophecy. Moreover, the Lord opens up that promise to us in surrounding statements. I want you to see this, how this is indeed a word of promise. It's a promise of favour. If you look at the very next words in verse 9, and here we have remarkable words. Just take the last part of verse 8. They are at hand to come. The Lord says, I'm predicting that they will come in spite of their circumstances. And then it's a word of promise. And He says this, for behold, I am for you. I am for you. And that's what I mean by a promise of favor. I am for you. Let that sink in. God acts on behalf of those of whom He says they are at hand to come. He shows them favor. He actually says, I am for you. Speaking of those people. And those words are very like the query that Paul raises in Romans chapter 8. And you know how that great passage at one point runs in Romans 8? We read, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's the same thing. Imagine this. The Lord says, they're at hand to come, for behold, I am for you. And my dear friend, there's the favor of God. On the basis of grace, He is for His people. He favors His people. He will work on those who are yet not in Christ, who are yet afar off. Whatever the circumstance might be that we've mentioned, there are many, many more, of course. He shows them favor. He gives the promise of a glorious ingathering. He says, they will come because I am for you. It's a promise of favor. It's also a promise of friendship. Look at verse 9 again. It says, for I am for you. Listen to this, dear believer. And I will turn unto you. I will turn unto you. And that is friendship. You see, the one who's yet afar off, who has not yet come, is a person who needs the Lord to turn toward him or her, turn his face toward that individual, visit that dear soul, and work in that heart and begin to move in that person's life. And that's what the Lord says here. He says, I am for you and I will turn unto you. And that's exactly what God does when He saves souls. He shows that He is for them. The devil's against them, though they don't know it. The world's against them. Sin's against them. But God is for them. for them and mercy for them and grace. And therefore, he shows them his friendship. He turns toward them. Oh, the face of God that maybe for many years has been turned away from those souls is suddenly turned in their direction. And the countenance of God displays his mercy and his love and his friendship. And the reason why that happens is because Jesus Christ has reconciled God to men and men to God. And therefore, there is not only favor shown to them, but there's friendship shown to them. And that means that no matter how far away they are, what their circumstances might be, all of the terrible state that they're in, the Lord says they are at hand to come because he gives this promise of his favor and his friendship. Now, dear believer, you take that to heart tonight. God is a God who shows favor to sinners, who shows friendship toward them, who even works among his people and on behalf of his people. And therefore, this is also a promise of fertility. For look at the next words in verse number 9. And ye shall be tilled and sown. Wonderful words. Where God says, I am going to do something that will bring about the results that seem improbable, that actually seem impossible. He says, I am going to create a fertile soil in which the seed of the word will fall. And a great harvest will come forth. It's a promise of fertility. And therefore it's a promise of fruitfulness. If you look back into verse number 8, to the start of that verse, you will see what I mean. It says, but ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. And in verse number 8, in fact, in many of the verses down this chapter, there is the concept of fruitfulness clearly and plainly seen. And the Lord is showing here that because of what he promises to do, there come days like this when his favor is shown, his friendship is displayed, he breaks up the fallow ground, he makes it fertile, and the seed is sown, and then the fruit comes forth. Is there anything new here? Is this not what you find in the parables? And many other places in the New Testament and throughout Scripture as a whole. But I show you tonight because it is God's word for us tonight. They are at hand to come. And this is a word of prophecy. It's a word of promise. And dear believer, you and I need to believe what God says here. You might think that son or that daughter of yours is so far away that there's no hope. You might think of that neighbor, friend, whoever it might be, is so deeply entrenched and at a distance from God because of sin and in the detention of a wicked world that there's absolutely no possibility of any change taking place. And I often, you say that, don't you? I've heard it many, many times. And of course, in my own heart, I've often thought it myself about people. Will they ever be saved? Will they ever come? And I read these words, they're at hand to come. And my mind is amazed that it could actually be near. And yet, no, there are times when God shows us the truth of this. Because people whom we maybe had even almost given up hope for were suddenly saved. And I could start naming some names tonight of people affiliated with this congregation in times gone by. And many a time, loved ones of those people said to me, and I no doubt said it before my day as a minister, will these people ever be saved? And then God saved them. God brought them low at times. Then he saved them. And what a wonderful thing that is. This word of prophecy, this word of promise, but I close with this. This is a word of power. They are at hand to come. God says that. What he is saying is, they're at hand to come because I am going to draw them. That's what he's telling us. That's why the words are spoken with such clarity and holy confidence. They're at hand to come because I'm already working. I'm already drawing them. You might not know it. The Jews themselves, who were still, who weren't in Babylon, because there were some still back there in the land of promise, you see, they had no idea of what God was doing. They had no awareness of the fact that God was working and God was manipulating things and he was about to bring his people home and gather these people in because this is a word of power. They are at hand to come. And I think tonight of the great words of our Savior in John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But the point is, brethren and sisters, every time a soul is saved, it's because God has drawn that person. You know, there are many, many elements in a person's salvation. Many people involved in a person's salvation. That's why we always should be very careful and not fall into boastfulness and even to thinking that we had something to do with a person's conversion in the sense of the actual work of grace. Because God, in his sovereignty, he can use this and this and this and this. And then, in the final analysis, on the occasion when a given sinner is saved and somebody has preached or whoever, whatever the circumstances are, maybe somebody has seen a little child saved or a teenager saved or whatever it may be, whatever the age may be, there's the tendency, the temptation to think, this is great. I led that soul to the Lord. No, you did not. You may have counseled, and that's grand. And we use the term leading people to Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. But my friend, it's the Lord who draws them. Otherwise, you would never sit down to counsel one soul and see a genuine conversion. And so, this is a word of power. And it's for this that we need to pray. And I want you to turn toward the end of the chapter as I close here. Because this whole chapter is one chapter and there's so much in it, and I would encourage you to read this marvelous chapter because it gets very, very detailed and blessed in its teaching and its instruction about the new birth and what God does in hearts and how he draws people and saves them and regenerates them and so on. But verse 37 says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." But the key thing there for you and for all of us to see tonight is the Lord says, I will yet for this be inquired of. He wants us to take his own word, that is, they are at hand to come and bring it back to him. And simply say, Lord, do what thou hast said. He wants you to inquire of him about your son or your daughter or whoever it might be. And bring that before the Lord for the Lord to do it. And may God by his Spirit this night write his word on our hearts. I leave it with you. I believe it's a word in season from the Lord for us all to take, to consider carefully. A word of prophecy, a word of power. Even when I say a word of prophecy, this chapter has great repercussions for end times, when there will yet be a great gathering of the Jews unto Jesus Christ. It's in this chapter. But the principle is, for any day, any time, from any nation, the Lord draws people and he gives us this word of prophecy, promise and power upon which we can pin our hopes and come before the throne of grace with confidence. And may the Lord help us to do that tonight and touch our hearts as we get to prayer soon. Let's just have a word of prayer now. and we'll commit our way to the Lord. And our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy truth that we have considered, and we pray that thou wilt use it, bless it to our souls, and O God, help us to take it back to thee, to stand upon it. Lord, may we see soon people been drawn to the Lamb. We thank thee, Lord, for tokens for good over times past and people truly converted. But Lord, we want more, we long for more. And may you fulfill your word to us and bless us abundantly, we ask. And continue with us now, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.